wearing the stars in the crown of rejoicing. Christian Science and the senses are at war. It is a revolutionary struggle. A false sense of civilization is dying out, and the truth that cannot die is being realized. Material substance, deterioration, and death are evidenced from without by the physical senses. Science and peace are recognized from within as the mind of God. When prophecy was about to be fulfilled, Jesus allowed men to kill the old civilization, physical body, with their own hands. Jesus hung on a cross, propped up by the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Suddenly the cry rang out, "It is finished." It is as if Jesus had said, "The ape man presented by mortal mind is finished. All of the so-called laws of the sensual way of living became null and void. Good and evil, happiness and sorrow, birth and death, they were all eclipsed by divine light." Right there, in what seemed like his darkest hour, the commencement of a new epoch was dawning. For as John later recorded, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." The Messiah's appearance on earth, his nature and his accomplishments were prophesied throughout the Old Testament and confirmed by living witnesses of his glorious career. For those early disciples, that was enough. But Jesus saw beyond the fulfillment of his own prophecy. He perceived a necessary and natural progression of yet another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that shall teach you all things. Jesus was not the first to prophesy its appearing. Isaiah intuitively coupled Christ and the Comforter in their proper sequence. Chapter 53 contains essential elements of Jesus' experience, and chapter 54 includes details of a woman wedded to God who would have a multitude of children, more than the married wife. This coupled relationship is also figured as two great lights, two olive branches, two candlesticks, etc. God's angel said, "I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Today, we can rejoice over those inspired individuals who walked through the open door of spiritual enlightenment to realize a new heaven and earth. But we often stop short of realizing the all-inclusive nature of these prophecies. Jesus' mission was both individual and collective. He did life's work aright, not only in justice to himself, but in mercy to mortals, to show them how to do theirs, but not to do it for them, nor to relieve them of a single responsibility. Prophecies are invitations from soul that we must accept in order to fulfill our own destiny. When we do, the exploration of real self commences. Completing each prophetic assignment, we break the barriers of time and sense and waken to realize a portion of our true identity and our original birthright. When we are ready, we too can declare, "It is finished," and pass triumphantly through the valley of the shadow of death into the holy city. It is appropriate and necessary to be grateful for the two anointed ones, Christ and Christian Science, and for the appointed ones, Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy, who were so faithful to God's idea of them that they were able to share the results of their spiritual dedication and enlightenment with us. True gratitude for these witnesses, however, is only complete when every idea they introduced to the world is exalted through us. It is certain that the directive of these prophecies was not just for them. We, too, must give up our most cherished beliefs and practices, lose our earth weights, material sense of body and place, and witness a new body and a new heaven right where the old one once stood. As we witness our own crucifixion, persecution for righteousness' sake, we are sure of resurrection to millennial consciousness and the realization of the Comforter that Jesus promised. The translation from faith to spiritual understanding is best described in Revelation. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Each object describes a quality and condition of thought. The woman symbolizes the highest form of love's manifestation, motherhood. This prototype figure is not clothed in a cloud or cloaked in mystery. She is a life-bright witness, ready to bring forth her conception of the man-child, God's man, in perfect harmony, heaven. This is what a lit candlestick looks like. She stands for both principle and practice. Her thoughts radiate outward and upward, above material conditions and consequences. In the dark night of chaos, we are grateful for moonlight reflected from the sun. But when the Comforter dawns upon human consciousness, the dim outlines are put underfoot. The moon under her feet has a double meaning. The woman has gained dominion over the dust of Adam's race by putting it under her feet, and she has adopted Christ's bedrock foundation as her footstool. She stands upon her faith in Christ to rule the long night of material sense. 12 stars encircle her mental heaven. Throughout Scripture, as voiced by the prophets, God has promised us an inheritance. Could this inheritance be figured as 12 stars? If so, each star represents a claimed inheritance. Here is a list of our inheritance as identified in the letters to the churches found in chapters 2 and 3 of St. John's Revelation. To him that overcometh will I give, 1. A tree of life, 2. A crown of life, 3. The hidden manna, 4. A white stone, and in the stone a new name written, 5. Power over the nations, 6. The morning star, 7. White raiment, 8. His name not blotted out of the book of life, but confessed before my Father and before his angels, 9. A pillar in the temple of my God, 10. The name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, written upon him, and 11. My new name written upon him. 12. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. These are the gifts that are ready and available to us. Beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As we read these assuring words, our hearts well up in gratitude for our rich promise of the divine likeness to be imaged upon us. Then we relax and think to ourselves that we have a lot to look forward to. But the rushing mighty wind exclaims, "No, no, do not wait. Claim your inheritance now and here. Commit yourself fully to the quest for dominion, and you will gain a holy spiritual state of consciousness that will crown you with a present knowledge of God. Utter humility draws us to the foot of the cross, and the pursuit of Christliness is the straight and narrow way. Beyond earth's turbulent mental climate, buoyed by the Comforter, we win and wear the stars in the crown of rejoicing."